this morning. You know, I was just standing up here and just brought a smile to my face watching everybody fellowship. Something about watching the brethren get together and just enjoy each other's company and talking and smiles and encouraging each other. And it's a joy to my heart. Good to be in church this morning. Been thinking a lot lately of just how blessed I am.
Hey,
thankful to be in church. I wanted to share a little story with you. Just this past week, I think it was actually Friday. I was working, and I was installing some showers, and I had stopped for lunch. There was a Wawa right next door to the building I was working in. I walked up and got some lunch, came back, and I got in my work van and rolled up the windows and just wanted to spend some time, quiet time, ate some lunch, spent some time in prayer, got to read a little. And as I was sitting there, I was just watching the wind blow these branches, these leaves. I started noticing the wind started blowing pretty hard and the leaves were going, and I sat there thinking, like, it's funny, like, I can see what's happening here. My windows roll up. I can't hear the wind. You can't see the wind, but I can see the evidence of what the wind is doing. Just made me think of pertaining that to God and a Christian's life. You know, the world doesn't necessarily see Jesus at all. This world's so crazy, there's nothing that's pointing them in the direction of Jesus, and they don't hear the voice of God talking to them, the Holy Spirit leading them, because they're lost. But they can see the evidence of what Jesus Christ is doing in a Christian that's walking with God. The Lord just started working on my heart. Just asking me, you know, Brian, does people see evidence of Jesus Christ in your life? It just reminded me, time is short. And this world is not going in the direction of God. And if we don't live for the Lord, if I don't live for God, they don't see Jesus Christ in me. My coworkers are never going to see Jesus. My neighbors aren't going to see Jesus. Pray for me. I want people to see Jesus in my life. I haven't been the best at it all my life. You know, we just got to celebrate the graduation of my nephew. Man, am I proud of him. But again, God was working on my heart. Made me think about what I was doing at 18 years old. And I was saved. I got saved when I was 14, but at 18, I wasn't graduating. I didn't graduate. I was wasting my life. When the rest of my class was graduating, I was mixed up in drugs and alcohol. And I was saved. I'm thankful that God's grace brought me back out of it and never let me feel comfortable living that life. Amen. Brought conviction on me. But man, I just was thinking about that time and these different phases of life. Now here I am, just married for just a little over a year, and I'm thinking, God, don't let me mess this up. I'll be honest with you, I thought being a husband was going to be a lot easier. It's not easy when you're trying to walk with God, because you get confronted with a lot of things that are going to be uncomfortable. Man, God has just been making it so apparent to me how short time is. For all I know, I won't be here tomorrow. All I know is I have today. Please pray for me that I don't waste today, I don't waste tomorrow. And I can put everything aside and walk with God. I'm so thankful for what Pastor's been teaching in Sunday school. He has no idea, but it has definitely been coinciding with what God has been laying on my heart. I'm so thankful for it. He's reminding me, he's working on me, and I'm stubborn, so sometimes God has to really wallop me. But I'm thankful for his grace, that he doesn't give up on me, that he loves me, and that he wants to use me, which I can't wrap my head around one bit. But man, am I thankful for God's grace. And I stand here this morning a blessed man. I think of my past, how I wasted it, but man, am I thankful that this morning I'm standing here in church. I'm thankful for church. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, for your mercy upon us. Lord, I can speak for myself. I know how much of a sinner I am, Lord. Lord, I know how much I need you. And I know how much I can't do anything without you, Lord. Lord, and we're here during what we're calling a revival meeting. Lord, I pray that you please bring that revival in each one of our hearts. Help us to realize, though, Lord, it's not just because we passed out cards that say the word revival, that revival is going to come, Lord. We need to take what is preached and allow it to work in our hearts. We need to make sure we're right with you, that we can even have a soft enough heart to receive it, Lord. Lord, gathering in this building is nothing but a social club if you don't meet with us. Lord, and in this time, in this hour, we don't need a social club, Lord. We need a renewal from the Lord. We need a meeting from you, Lord. Lord, please allow the Holy Spirit to move in this service. Lord, I pray that as we sing these songs, that it would not spark an emotion, Lord, but help us to be pricked in our hearts. That our hearts would be prepared for your word. And that as the pastor preaches this morning, Lord, that it wouldn't just be words filling our head, but it would be words affecting our heart, causing us, Lord, to cling to you, to submit to you, to confess how undone and how weak we are, Lord. Just as pastor said this morning, that we must decrease, that you must increase, Lord. Man, I realize that every single day. Help us to get out of your way, to rid ourselves of ourselves, and to allow Jesus Christ to fill us, to guide us, and to walk with us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us in a special way this morning. If there be anybody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you'd deal with that in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you wouldn't let them leave here without settling that with you. If there anybody here this morning that's struggling with sin, Lord, help them to come down right there where they are at the personal altar in their heart, to bow down, Lord, to submit to you, to confess it, Lord, and make it right. Lord, if there's anybody here that's walking with you, Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen them, encourage them, help them to continue walking with you, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for church this morning, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do here in this service, Lord. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And invite you all to please stand with me. We're going to sing page 812, a song we all know very well, Victory in Jesus. If you have victory in Jesus, let's sing it like you mean it. Sing it out for the glory of the Lord, page 812, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
already smelled it wafting up already. There will be a dinner after the service. Everyone's invited to come down. Plenty of food. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy some fellowship. There will be a great meal. So if you're able to stay, we'd love for you to stay. And just, I believe, spaghetti dinner, right? So I'm looking forward to it. I've been smelling it. It's the only downfall of having the dinners after church is I sit in the front row and it's just wafting up to me. And ooh boy, I am starving by the time we get out. I'm ready to eat because it smells so good. I'm thankful for all the work that was put into that down there. I don't ever want to take for granted what goes into those meals. Don't magically appear down there. Someone put in some hard work to make it happen. So thank you to everyone and anyone that had a part in that, bringing food, preparing food, all that. We're thankful for that. Look forward to enjoying it with you after the service. Yes. For our final song, we're going to turn to page number 9. We're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Amen.
We're going to sing this one a cappella.
Holy, 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 Lord.
Thank you.
I believe God wants to do something this morning, brethren.
Yes, come on.
I believe God wants to do something this morning. We ought to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this morning I'm thankful that y'all can play, but I'm more thankful that he can play to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't want him playing for man.
Right.
Brother June, Sister May, I don't want him playing for man. Man don't need it. See, when we start playing for man, we start getting lifted up in ourselves. All to be done to the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Ellie. She's already left out. Thank you for her playing. You know, you have to help me. Just bear with me this morning. You know, something with the Christian walk, it doesn't happen overnight. You see, when you walk with Christ, you desire to love God. That's the first key right there. You desire to love God. You desire to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you get to that point to where you say, Lord, you pray, God, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. God says, it's almost like the Lord said to James and John, do you realize really what you're asking for? Do you realize what you're asking for when you're asking to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because when you ask that to the Lord, the Lord says, okay, for you to do that, for you to love me with all that you have to go through some things. To get you to the point to where then you can love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because God's got to put you into situations to where you realize it's not you, nothing about you, nor can it ever be anything about you, because it's all going to be about him. And so I'm so thankful. I say that this morning because I'm thankful to God, and I still consider him, even though I'm a pastor, I consider him still my pastor.
Amen.
You see, I love that. I love that man right there.
Hey.
I love him. And the reason I love him is for 22 years, he put up with me. True. It's true. I tried to be faithful, like he said, but there's times I knew I caused him headaches. I'm going to be open and transparent to you, brethren. I don't believe God ever called me up here unless I faced some things about myself. And I know there was times in services to where I had my feathers ruffled and my flesh got the better of me and I had an attitude towards the pastor. You know what? He showed grace. I love him. And the only reason I know he can show grace is because I know this man loves God. Yeah. And he desires to love God. I know before he came up here, he'd been praying months about what he ought to preach. I trust this man. I do. Because I've seen God do stuff. And I've seen God move. But you see, God will only move if we allow him to. You see, God's not going to force himself upon nobody. God's not going to make any man do anything against man's will. So man chooses God, or man chooses to reject God. So I ask you this morning before he comes up to preach that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. If God bears witness to something, I pray you take heed to. And if you're here this morning and you're discouraged, I encourage you to keep going on. Don't quit. Stay faithful to the Lord, and the Lord will get you where you want to be someday. You just don't quit. Finish your course. Keep the faith. That's what Paul said. Finish the course. They kept the faith. Let's do the same. Pastor Dawes.
Well, again, it goes without saying how blessed and privileged and honored my wife and I are to be with y'all. And we thank the Lord for you. It's been a blessing to get to spend some time with you and come to know somebody just a short time. And it helps to put faces to some things when we pray for you. And we do pray for this church, for these services. As I get ready to go on here in just a second and start, I do want to say this before I start. Please, this morning, if the Lord is speaking to your heart about any matter, don't wait. Don't wait for any certain time that you may think that I or your pastor extends an invitation. You do business with God. I personally believe that already this morning the Lord is trying to speak to hearts and tenderize hearts over different things. So if there's any matter this morning, be it salvation, be it anything in your life, if you already know the Lord, you do business with him. Right there where you're at. Don't you hesitate. Don't you wait. What you have is this moment. You have this moment. And you take advantage of that. And you seize this moment in whatever way God may be speaking to your heart or dealing with you about any matter. I want you to please take your Bibles and stand. You know, there is a theme I felt like the Lord put upon my heart for these meetings here. And it has to do with the person and work of the Holy Ghost. You know, Friday night we looked at concerning, do you have the Holy Ghost? Have you been born again? Have you been made a new creature in Jesus Christ? And then last night, we looked at, after that, I determined by the grace of God, I felt He put it on my heart to preach on sins against the Holy Ghost. And we looked last night about grieving the Holy Ghost. Well, what we're going to look at this morning is a subject that, and go with me to Matthew 12. It's a subject that has caused at times a lot of angst and anxiety for individuals saved and lost. And what I want to look at this morning is concerning the concept of blaspheming and resisting the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to say something to you. My dear friend, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never have to worry about that. If you have repented of your sin and self and turned to God through Jesus Christ and received Him, then you never have to worry about this matter of the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, after eternal damnation. Okay? And we're going to look at some things here now. All right? But this is a thing that many individuals get a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of torment have been put through individuals in their minds and their hearts concerning this this principle and concerning these verses. And we can't deal with the person of the Holy Ghost and sins against the Holy Ghost without addressing this. All right? And that's what we're going to do this morning. I want you to take a look at Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever shall speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Father, thank you for your word. Direct us, help us, and guide us. Give us what we need this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us where we're at, Father. We ask this according to thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You can be seated. Now, what's going on here? What was happening here? What it was basically, brethren, was a rejection of truth, but not a rejection of truth in ignorance, but a rejection in an outright defiance of it. It was resisting the Holy Ghost to the point of blasphemy. What was happening was a resistance of the witness of the Spirit of God as He bore witness to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And listen. It wasn't so much a thing of resisting, because, brethren, all of us probably resisted as the Lord spoke to our hearts and dealt with us at times. Paul, what did the Lord say to Paul? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But it's a point of resistance that came to the point of blaspheming the Holy Ghost of God by pronouncing, of resisting and saying that what Jesus was doing was done by the powers of darkness, where there was evidence, there was obvious evidence of the Spirit of God bearing witness to this. Notice Jesus said, He that speaketh a word against the Son of Man. Now listen, Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. If you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, then you are putting forth a Christ that is foreign to Scripture. If you deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. You are putting forth a Christ that is foreign to Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ is both Son of God and Son of Man. He is God manifest in the flesh. But for many of the Jewish people of that day, all they knew of him was that was Joseph's son, they thought. Just a carpenter, all right, who had lived a very exemplary life until about 30 years of age, and he starts his public ministry. And so to speak a word against Jesus as merely a man, that was forgivable. You understand me? In other words, I don't know. You know, I heard he did some work for me one time, and yeah, it was pretty shoddy. Now, you know it wasn't. Now, you know it wasn't. And by the way, it wasn't because Jesus just went and said, boards come together. Get out of here with that nonsense. He had a trade and he worked, but he did diligent. He was diligent with it. He went and gave his best. And you know he never did no shoddy work. He never gave nobody no short change on anything. But people, of course, would probably have said that about him possibly and would have said things about him. Well, I don't think too much of him. He don't impress me none. To speak against Jesus as merely a man was forgivable. But when to speak against him in the power of the Spirit of God as he was performing those signs and miracles that Messiah was supposed to do with the Holy Ghost bearing witness to it, to resist that, to resist the testimony and the bearing witness of the Holy Ghost to the point of attributing it to the powers of darkness, that was deadly. That was a different matter. It was resistance to the Holy Ghost to the point of defiance, reaching the level of blasphemy. Take your Bible just a moment, please, and go to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now listen to me, please. What we're looking at this morning is some serious stuff, and it really is. It is very serious stuff. I think sometimes the adversary can take this principle and get into the minds of individuals, both saved and lost, and get them in such a work, or try to tell them, you've done blasphemy the Holy Ghost, it's too late for you, and it's too and this matter needs to be looked at in truth. That I hope will give you some help, but also I hope you'll understand the seriousness. How serious a matter it is to say to the Lord, not now. Not now. Not now. Not now. Not now. This is deadly. That is deadly serious if you do that. All right? Now look at 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. And look, please, with me, if you would, at verse 12. Now watch what it says. Look what Paul says. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Well, there's a big difference between a man putting himself in the ministry and God putting him into the ministry. What was the attribute that God looked and said, that fella right there, I'm going to use him. I got plans for him. Was it his eloquence? Not a bit. Was it his great learning? None. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. He said, listen, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Look what he says next. Paul, why did you obtain mercy? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Do you understand the implication of what he just said? Many times people don't understand the implication of what was just written. The implication is, I did these things. I did some very bad things, but I did it in ignorance, in unbelief. And because of this, I obtained mercy. Paul's saying, if I had not done it ignorantly in unbelief, I wouldn't have obtained mercy. Now you might be saying, wait a minute. If he had done these things in belief, he wouldn't have done these things. No, you don't understand, my friend. When the Spirit of God bears witness and you know something is truth, when you know there is truth, now you've got a choice to make. Now you've got a choice. You're now enlightened and you understand. What will you do? Will you from the heart Make a commitment to the truth that you have now been exposed to, and the Spirit of God says, this is true, this is real, this is what you need, or will you turn away from it? And things were getting precarious for Paul because the Lord came to him. Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Why persecutest thou me? Paul says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The implication is, if I had known fully of what I was doing, and it wasn't in unbelief, so to speak, not as a born-again believer, but as someone that has been enlightened and I now know, and I had rejected the... I wouldn't have obtained mercy. It's serious stuff. And there's no way around looking at what it says. Listen. It is not a matter of... And please, if you're here listening on recording, well, preacher, I got you, and someday I plan on getting around to receiving Christ. Oh, really? Do you know how arrogant you are right now with that statement? You're telling God, someday we'll hook up when I'm ready. You're telling God, work on my time. My friend, it doesn't work that way. You are insulting the Creator, the one that we sang and lifted up and lauded in song this morning. You don't do that. He's the Almighty. And when He loves you and cares enough to pass by your way and deal with you and reach out His hand to you, and you spurn Him and say, someday, that someday may not come. I can't tell you that it won't. The inner workings of man and where a man's heart is, as that's between him and God. But you're treading thin ice. That's a deadly thing to do. You see, there's one thing about hearing the truth and another thing when the Holy Ghost brings it home. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I think he was around 15 years old. It was a winter day. He was out and he went into a little Methodist chapel. And there was a layman there preaching. And of course it wasn't anything eloquent, it wasn't anything, but he just said, look to Christ, look! Just look to Christ. And Spurgeon said, I know I must have heard the gospel many, many times before. I'd heard it. I'd heard. But it was there. I got it. I understood. And I simply, by faith, looked to Christ. The Holy Ghost brought it home to him. And he responded in a correct manner. No, I'm not telling you. I'm not trying to tell you that you get one shot. I'm not trying to tell you that, but I'm telling you, my dear friend, if God is dealing with you and you know that He is, you're treading a precarious course then to go and spurn God's dealings with you, the work of the Holy Ghost to bring you to Himself, God's call of love to you. He'll take the hint if you're not careful. Take your Bible, please, and go to the book of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Do you know what we've done? And it's probably been going on for about, well, close to 100 years. I think it really coincides with the start of the latest in church age. Do you know who we have rudely left out of things? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Ghost of God. We have got things down to where we think that simply I've told someone, now it should be simply a matter of, well, there is the essence of the Spirit of God bearing witness and wooing that one and reaching out to that one, and they make a response. You and I have a part to do in the salvation of someone's soul, but there's a part that only God can do. My part is to tell. My part is to pray. My part is to answer questions. My part is to be there. But only the Holy Ghost of God can give the true invitation. Only the Holy Ghost of God can bear witness that this is truth. And then that individual must deal with God. And there's no way around that. And if we shirk in what God has given us to do, shame upon us. But if we overstep what God has given us to do, shame upon us also. And so it coincides. Brother, listen. The Laodicean church age, which we are in, and there's no question about that, has the ignoble reputation of having put Jesus Christ outside of the church. And he, like the gentleman he is, knocking to to come in. I used to wonder how it could have happened. I don't wonder anymore. It's obvious. Do you know what we've done? Brethren, please, I'm not riding a hobby horse. I'm not, but I'm telling you. We've left the importance of the simplicity of the local church with the preaching, the teaching, with the medium that God has set up, the local church, the pillar and ground of the truth, and we've copied the world and we've said, but we need degree and we need title and we need university and we need this and we need programs, and now, Lord, we've got it all together. And the Lord says, yes, you've got everything but me. And you don't even sense your need for me, and I'll be outside if anyone desires me. Don't tell me it's not so, because it is. It's the day and age that we're in. We have set aside the importance of the local assembly, the preaching, the teaching of what God has set up in the local church. And we've said, well, we can't really give people what they need. May I remind you. That when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching to the 5,000 there, just the 5,000 of men, he turned to one of his disciples. I think it was Philip. They need to eat. Give them to eat. Lord, we've not got. Send them away. Send them away. They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. When I was in New Guinea, I preached this to those national pastors there, because they're becoming just like over here. They feel like, well, we've not got anything to feed them with. We need to send them off to this place or this school or this place. They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Who is the ordaining, the sending, and the disciplining body God has established? The local church. Not the college, not the school, the local church. What did God establish in the local church? Pastors and teachers. Yes, sir. Listen, if that pastor cannot feed and teach, if that pastor cannot feed and teach the assembly, then something's wrong. Do you understand me? See, here's what's happened. God has set up pastors and teachers. What we've done today, now you hear me out, brethren, you hear me out. Let it help you. Listen to me. Does not the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some apostles, prophets, which we don't have today, that the apostolic period's gone. Then he says, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He gave. God gifts the local church with those positions. Evangelist, pastor, teacher. And there's a calling of God. That used to be understood. Today, you know what we've done? We can go to school. We can get a degree, and we consider that equivalent to a calling for God for the local church. Oh, no, it's not. I have preached at a Bible Institute graduation. You know what I told those young men? I said, young men, all this that you're going to get today, all it means is that you proved you can sacrifice time to study your Bible. It doesn't mean you know your Bible, because the rest of your life you need to study that book. It does not mean God's called you to anything. It doesn't mean he's gifted you to anything. All it means is you proved you can show a lack of laziness and you can take the time to study your Bible. Now keep doing it. It's not a call of God. Doesn't mean God's called you to nothing. Get in there and serve God in the local church like you're supposed to. And listen, prove yourself faithful. He'll gift and he'll call. But we've copied the world to where a man feels like. I've heard people say it. Well, I finished Bible school now. I may go on the mission field. You may do that. It's not a matter of what I feel like I want to do or I may do. It's God calling and God gifting. And we're paying a price for it today. We're paying a price. What I'm telling you, brethren, is listen, we need... It's so important that we have and keep to the simplicity of what God has set up, with the Spirit of God working in our lives through the Word of God in that medium that He has set up for in the local church. My friend, everything you need to finish your walk right with Jesus Christ is found on your knees in that book and in this church with a pastor that is called to be a pastor, that'll listen, that'll give you teaching and love you and help you and help foster your faith and grow you to be what God have you to be. You don't need it from the internet. You need it right here. Listen, here's what happens. The Bible says in 2 Peter, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. 30 years ago when I started pastoring, I told my wife, honey, too many places here, they're taking young men, they're newly saved, they're shoving their head full of Bible knowledge, and they're dangerous. It's like putting a sword in the hand of a four-year-old. Is he going to hurt himself, cut himself, and cut everybody around him? The Bible says add to your faith what? Virtue. And then knowledge. Somebody gets saved, they need to sit in a local church and let God make the man. Let God develop the character. Let God make the man. And then they can handle knowledge rightly. There's a right and a proper way for these things to be done. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifieth. God's interested in making the man. Acts chapter 3, look at verse 14. Acts chapter 3, verse 14. Look what Peter says here. He says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired to murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Look at verse 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Peter said, guys, you did it. You killed the Prince of Life. But I know that you did it ignorantly. You did it ignorantly. And thus they go on, and many of them, they got saved. They realized what they had done. And they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, this blasphemy of the Holy Ghost that we saw there in Matthew, it's a matter of resisting the Holy Ghost to the point of blasphemy. Look at Acts 7. Let me say this. I don't know that as far as technically speaking per se, you run, I know there's some people who say, well, that's a sin that can only be committed during the times of Jesus' earthly ministry. But I don't know that you necessarily run into so many people actually with their mouth blaspheming. But I tell you, I think the great danger of people today of resisting the Holy Ghost to the point of it's fainter and fainter. The call is fainter and fainter. And there's such a callousness built up that no longer do they sense the Lord speaking and dealing with them. And it's just dead. That's deadly. That is dangerous. I told you of a young man who had been in our church. He came up in our church. He was a teenager. Some of the other teenagers were burdened about him. They told me that they asked him one time, haven't you ever sensed the Lord speaking to you and dealing with your heart? He goes, many times. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. They said, well, why didn't you yield? Why didn't you submit? Why didn't you? He goes, mm-mm. He goes, I just shake my hand. I start shaking my head. I shake my head, and try to shake it off. Just try to shake it off. It's frightening. Got older, got married. I don't know now where he's at or where he's at, but I fear for him. I greatly fear. That's a deadly, dangerous thing to do. And may I say that even as a believer, if God has spoken to your heart about some matter, but it's really hitting home, and you just start busying yourself with something to shake it off, God's not trying to ruin your life. He loves you. He's trying to make you after his own image and so that you can have heavenly rewards someday. Listen to me. Do you know what the problem that the charismatics had? Their only problem was timing. The charismatic movement said, God wants you healthy and God wants you wealthy. He does in eternity. Their problem was timing. The Lord wants you to have a body one day that never gets sick. That is advanced to a degree you can't imagine in eternity. Jesus Christ wants you. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He wants you to have that. Because listen, do you know why? Because no matter what you lay up here, it is going to burn up. It's all going to go. And the Lord wants you to have something eternal, reserved, an inheritance. Salvation's a free gift. Those rewards are earned as you deny self, bring flesh in subjection, walk with the Lord and yield to Him. And He wants you to have it. Do you know why it's so important? Real quick, and I'm going to go on. Do you know why heavenly... Listen. If you're saved, don't sit there and think, well, preacher, it doesn't bother me none because I'm just so happy to be there and the Lord doesn't have to give me anything. That's pathetic. You're not spiritual. You're carnal. And you don't love the Lord like you think you do. Yes, I do. Because I'm just happy to be there and I just to have Him. Whoa, He wants you to have treasure. And I'm going to remind you of something Jesus said. You know what Jesus said? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't know how this thing exactly works, but I know this. Someday, I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Not concerning salvation. I'm there because I am saved. It's going to be concerning what I've done for Him since I've been saved. And me and Christ are going to look at what I've done. You ever told a child when they went and rebelliously did something they weren't supposed to do and made a mess, look at what you've done. You ever had your child bring you something they wanted to do for you because they loved you and they cared? Oh, just look at what you've done. Same words, different emphasis. The Bible speaks of wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. Brethren, to stand before Jesus Christ, and the Lord says, here it is. Evidently, what I've done since I've been saved is somehow translated into substance. Do you understand that? The Bible says we'll receive the things done in our body. The things that I've done since I've been saved are translated into substance. Now, if in front of me is wood, hay, stubble, do you realize it at that moment what Christ and I both know? That's where my heart was down there most of the time. Oh, the shame of it. Oh, the shame of it. To be a child of God. And there's no argument. There's nothing I can say. The Lord says, right there. Because that's where your heart was. Your heart was on carnality and self. And you laid up wood, hay, stubble. And there's nothing to do. Watch it go up in smoke. With no reward. Salvation's a free gift. Heavenly rewards. The Bible speaks of not losing those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Let God work in your life. Let Him work. When the Lord deals with you about things, it's because He loves you. He cares about you. And the Lord, you and I tend to look at things with an eye to right now. Christ is always thinking of eternity. Eternity, eternity, eternity. You and I are thinking of this life. We're thinking, but he is always thinking of eternity and what He wants for you and I. Now, take your Bible here. Just a moment. And if you would, go to Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Look what Stephen says to that group assembled there with him. He says, ye stiff-necked, and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always, what? Resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Wouldn't it have been a blessing if we read on and they said, and they broke down and they humbled themselves and said, Stephen, it's true, it's true. We've been so wicked. Oh, God, have mercy on us. But they didn't. They were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And you know what's happened? They killed him. They stoned him. With a look on his face like a look of an angel, the Bible speaks of. Full of the Holy Ghost. What'd they do? They resisted. They resisted the Holy Ghost. To the point of stoning Stephen. The Holy Ghost can be resisted with some individuals to the point of blasphemy. We saw that in Matthew. The Holy Ghost can be resisted with some individuals to the point of the call gets lighter and lighter and dimmer and dimmer, and the heart harder and harder, and they no longer sense the Lord dealing with them. In the life of a believer, listen, whether the life of a lost person or a saved person, the Holy Ghost can be so resisted that it drives you to madness. Don't kid yourself. If the Lord has been lovingly dealing with you about something, and you will not yield. Most of us have enough right fear of the Lord. We're not going to shake our fist at God. So you take it out on Him. That will be the temptation. Do you understand me? Because we're scared to say, God, no. So it's like, well, that preacher, that's not the word of God. That's not what God told him to preach. He's just got something out from me. Be careful. Be careful. You know what? If you're not careful, at a right moment, you'd pick up a stone and you'd throw it at him. Don't kid yourself. Why? Because just like that crowd in Acts 7, the Lord is dealing with you where you're at and you don't want none of it. Please be careful. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. They resisted the Holy Ghost to the point of they were just gnashed with their teeth and stoned him. If you leave church and you're ever like, something's wrong. You've got a root of something that you need to have God root out that's holding you back and hindering you horribly in your life. If He's giving you Scripture, if He's pouring His heart out for you, it's because He loves you and He cares about you, because He's borrowing the love of God. It's the God's love working through Him to help you to be all the Lord would have you to be. Take your Bible. Take your Bible and go with me, please, to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also, what? Resist. Resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Again, the problem of and the danger of resisting the Holy Ghost is that the heart gets harder and the ear gets heavier. Go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse number 1. Isaiah 66, verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Now, I don't know about you. But if the Bible says, if the Lord says, to this man will I look, I want to be that man. I want to be that man. If the Bible says, such and such that doeth this or that will be blessed, I want to be that one. I want to be the one that gets blessed. I want to be the one that gets close to the Lord, not the opposite way. So when the Scripture says, this is the kind of man I'm going to look to, I want to be that kind of individual. And so should you. Well, what kind of person is it? Well, look what it says. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Trembleth at his word. You can't even find people today that know where the word of God is at. Just a plethora of so-called Bibles. It's a mess. It's a travesty. I'm sure you probably already know this. But brethren, when it gets down to the matter of Bible versions and such as that, and the name of our church down in South Carolina is King James Bible Baptist Church. If you want to go and try to do research, you'll always find something that'll back up your views on it. And somebody else will have other things that'll have manuscripts that'll try to back up. Do you know where it ultimately gets down to? The witness of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm going to tell you something. I can't lie. There's someone in me that bears witness to that King James Bible. And he doesn't bear witness to these other Bibles. I can't lie. Because I've been born of the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of truth. And ultimately, that's where it gets down to. If you try to convince somebody intellectually, you'll just go around and around and around and around. I had a person one time, he was emailing me, and it was going that route, just around and around. And I told him, I said, well, partner, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to sum it up for you. I said, my friend, I can't lie to you. There's someone in me that bears witness that King James Bible is the word and words of the living God, and he doesn't bear witness to these other Bibles. I said, now, sir, if you're going to tell me, which he never would say, but I said, if you're going to tell me that there's someone in you that bears witness that the NIV is the word of God, and that the King James isn't, I said, well, I'll tell you what, I guess we'll find out one day, won't we? But you know what? He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't dare say that. Because, listen, because if you have and you can lay your hand on what you know is the words and the words of the living God, then that means accountability and authority. And that's the one thing men don't want today, even professing saved men, authority and accountability. But God's all about that. So listen, look here. Take your Bible here. Look here. And go with me very quickly again, Isaiah 66. The Lord says, this is the kind of man I'm looking at that'll has a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Verse 3, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation is as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. You know what they were doing? They were externally doing everything they were supposed to do, but not with the right heart. Lord said, when you're offering sacrifice, it's no different than me than if you were cutting off a dog's neck. When you're offering incense to me and praise, it's like you're blessing an idol because your heart's not in it. Brethren, God forbid that we offer up to the Lord empty, mechanical, formal worship and service. He wants none of it. In Isaiah, the very God who established the system of the feasts and the sacrifices, you know what God said? I'm tired of it. I don't want none of it. Because you're going through the motions, but your heart is elsewhere and you live just like you want. It's no different. It's like people do today. They come to church, but the way they live out there is totally different, and God will have none of it. God says, this is what I'm looking for. The one that's poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Look what he says about those who choose otherwise. Verse 4, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Why? Why would he do that? Because when I called, when I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. They wanted God to be there when they called. Who's God? Him or you? Seriously. No, you're there when he calls. When he comes by and says, I want to introduce you to my son. I want you to come to me. I made a way that you can be reconciled to me. That's nice. Someday I will. Do you realize what you just said to the Almighty? How would you feel if somebody did that to you? I mean, come on. If you knocked at somebody's door and they were like, I ain't got time. Later, okay? I know you. You'd be like, I got you. I take a hint. You think the Almighty's any different? To insult him to do that way when he lovingly is dealing with you concerning your soul if you're not saved, or concerning some matter in your life that needs to be taken care of. God forbid that we be rude to the Lord God Almighty. The Lord said, the Lord told him here, this is what you want, I'll choose your delusions. I'll bring your fears upon you. Did you realize that the Bible says if we're saved, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind? If you want to know where the state of modern day Christianity and professing Christians are, then all you got to do is look at how people handled COVID that claimed they were saved. If fear was yielded to, then that shows where their spiritual condition is. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Don't get me wrong. You will experience fear. The key is if you yield to it. Do you let it rule you? Do you let it control you? The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And fear robs you of each one of those three. Fear is a robber. What's the first group in Revelation 21:8? What's the first group listed in the lake of fire? Fearful. The whoremongers, the adulterers, the murderers, that's later. First group, fearful. Fear is a robber. Fear is a great robber. And Christ has not given us the spirit of fear if we're saved with power, love, and a sound mind. You will experience fears. Do you yield to them? Do you let them rule and run you? Are God's spirit and his word working together with truth in your life? Who controls and dictates to you? Here's a man that hopefully, I believe this, will try to steal your spiritual arm with courage and faith and trust in God. Yet the newscaster is trying to make a buck, and he'll try to put fear in you, and the latest thing to get worried about, the latest thing to get anxious about. Which one will you listen to? Which one will you listen to? The one that's trying to make a buck off you and put fear in you and get you all tore up, and this is going on, and your pastor who's trying to help you spiritually and put strength in you and help, and it doesn't mean that things won't happen. Yes, things will happen. Sickness, disease, famine, yet they can't separate you from the love of Christ. God has purposes in them, and he'll draw you ever close to himself. Brother, I'm telling you. The things are moving along. We've got to know where we're at. We're fools if we say to the world, oh, I've got a God. He can save your soul. He can take care of you for eternity. He can wash your sins away. He can give you eternal life. But he can't help you through COVID. And I'm not taking it serious. I know people have died. Me and her had it. It wasn't no fun. I didn't like it. But listen to me. Right's right. Right's right. You know what this world has done? You know what this world has done? You know what professing Christianity has done? The professing Christianity has showed the Lord where their heart's at. Seriously. They've showed the Lord what church means. Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. It's his bride. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. But my body. I'm going to say, brethren, by God's grace, I'm not saying anything about us. I just knew what we were supposed to do. Our doors stayed open. We didn't miss one service. Yeah, we got it. Others got it at times. It took about a year or two. I never said that we wouldn't get it. Never said it wouldn't happen. But my Bible says, listen to me. The Bible says that those things can't keep me from the love of Christ. Okay? I'm showing the Lord where the emphasis is at. Now listen to me. Well, I know, preacher, but I love Jesus. Okay. What about if they say you can't have your Bible? Oh, no, preacher. I know where to draw the line. No, you don't. You'll give it up. You'll give up your Bible. If you could stay away from church, you'll give your Bible up. Let me tell you why I say you'll do it. Because you know what you'll say in your mind? You'll justify it. Well, they can't take Jesus from me. I mean, he's in my heart. And I've got God's word in my heart. And I know God's word's hidden in my heart. And so, I mean, I know. I mean, I love the word of God. But it's just paper, after all. It's just leather. I mean, because it really matters what I've got in my heart. You'll give it up. You will. Not unless you determine right now, Lord, the things of you are all that matter. God, you're all that matters. And God, I'm sorry because I've let the world dictate to my mind what should shake me up and what should make me anxious and what should dictate where I'm going to go and how I'm going to do instead of you, instead of your church, the pillar and ground of the truth, instead of your servant. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? What's going to stand good someday before Jesus? That I trusted, not that I wouldn't get this, not that famine wouldn't happen, not that I wouldn't get hurt, not that, but God, you and your truths, they're all that mattered. What's going to stand right one day? Take your Bible quickly. I am hurrying along, but go quickly to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Well, aren't you something? No, I'm nothing. And I tell you something. The one that scares me the most is me. Me. That fellow that looks at me in the mirror in the morning, I look at him, I'm like, I don't trust you. Seriously. I don't trust you. You're a rascal. Only thing good in you is Jesus Christ and give you half a chance, that's what you get yourself into. We can pass one test. How about the next one? Elijah, up on Mount Carmel, whoo, calling down fire, slaying the prophets of Baal. What a day. Outrunning Ahab's chariot, praying for rain. And the next day, a woman says, I'm going to kill you. I'm out of Dodge. Lord, just take me away. I'm no better than my father's. Oh, brethren, we got to walk with the Lord like he was talking about this morning. And it's a daily fight. It's a daily battle. And you passed yesterday's test. Glory to God. But it'll be a new one today. And you can't rest on your laurels. Every day's new. Every new test. The new trial that will come up. It's all new. Every one of them. Real quick, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Why were they not saved? They didn't receive the love of the truth. And for this cause, God, not the devil, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Did you know there are countless people, even professing Christians, who do not understand this concept of the nature of God? That God himself, if you refuse him, if you reject him on his time, if you try to set things according to your timetable and your ways, God himself will send delusion and he will make it sure you believe a lie in order to ensure your damnation. This is not some crazy South Carolina insane preacher giving you his opinion. This is Bible. This is Bible concerning the nature of God and how holy he is and how wonderfully loving he is. But he's not to be trifled with. He's God. The early church, the Bible says, the early church, born again people, walked also in the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate, the Bible says. Look what it says. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Why didn't they believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness? This nonsense today to where repentance is even getting taken out of hymn books. That's a fact. That sin's not really the matter. Just intellectually believe on Jesus. Let me tell you something right now. The Bible says they didn't believe the truth because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Mark it down. If someone has heard the gospel, understands the gospel, and they refuse to repent and come to Christ, it's because they love their sin more than the God who gave himself for them. That's the truth. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I don't know about you, but the night I got saved, I felt like I was naked and exposed before the whole world. The Spirit of God came down and showed me who and what I was, and I felt like everybody in the world could see me, and I wanted to be like a cockroach and run and hide. But thanks be to God, I sat and I took it, and instead of fleeing away from God, I fled to him and found covering and forgiveness and atonement in Jesus Christ. And my conscience cleared. And that can only be found in Him. Let me say this. I'll kind of bring it all together. Someone may say, but I don't sense Him dealing with me. Other people like that. They're like, well, I just don't sense the Lord really dealing with me. Can I ask you a question? Why should He? Just to have you insult Him and refuse to answer the door. Why should He? See, some folks think that I can just take and I got a little thing here. Somebody told me to say it. And let me just real quick. Got a preacher friend of mine in Lower South Carolina, Brother Carl Baker. Brother Baker was in O'Hare Airport, Chicago, about 25, 30 years ago. He was talking to another believer. And they got to talking about souls and everything. And this guy was like, yeah. He was like, here's how you do it. And you have to know Brother Baker. And Brother Baker goes, well, okay, I'm ready to learn anything. Show me. What are you talking about? So this guy goes over to two fellas sitting at, I think they were sitting at a place to eat or something like that, a little bar there. They were getting a sandwich or something. And this guy goes up to them, gives them a gospel message, gets them to pray, pronounces them saved. First of all, it's criminal. It's criminal. And he pronounced them saved, good to go. Brother Baker went up to him after the guy left. Brother Baker went up to him and said, I want to ask you fellas something. Do you know what just took place here? Do you know what you did? And they said, no, not really. Just did what the guy told us to do. He's like, well, what are you going to do when you leave here? I'll head over to the bar. Head over to the bar for a little bit. Brother Baker took the time and tried to show them and deal with them and get them to think about some things and let them think about it. Let them think about it. Brethren, what can happen is we can either get so mechanical that here it is, do this, you're good to go, or the thing can go to where someone's sitting there and saying, well, God's not really dealing with me. I'm going to deal with that in just one moment, but let me say one more thing. I challenge you. When do you find in the Bible, where do you find in the Bible that souls are dealt with like you see modern day soul winners deal with people? Where do you find it? Right, it's not there. When Paul went to Agrippa, look here, what did he say? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Will you please tell me why Paul didn't say, almost, almost, all you've got to do is pray. Come on, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. Will you tell me that the man that God used to write a half the New Testament did not operate the way men say you're supposed to operate today? Will you tell me? Did Paul care for souls? Why didn't Paul say, let's pray? He didn't. He had given him the truth. He let him hold that rock, and it's between him and God. There's a group that came to Paul. And he got done preaching and a bunch of Gentiles. And you know what Paul said? Keep at it. Keep at it. Continue the grace of God. He didn't even tell them anything to do. Have them pray with them. A week or so later, they come around. He preached again. Some of them got saved. They knew their part was to preach truth, tell truth, pray for people, and let the Spirit of God deal with individuals. Now, if that hits you funny, because you've operated differently, my friend, you need to face the truth. You've operated wrong. I'm not saying nobody got saved in that way, but they did it in spite of, not because of, that operation. So often today, the way things are done is not what you see in your Bible. Now you don't. You see truth put forth and you see a work of God. That's the first thing I said this week. Are you a work of the Lord or a work of man? What are you? But listen, let's suppose you're one that you're here or you're listening on recording and you're like, you know what? He should never dealt with me. Lord, she never really dealt and spoke to my heart. So I'm just, you know, again, I submit to you. Why? Why should he? Because he knows you'd just say no. You'd slam the door in his face. You want nothing to do. Let me ask you something. Why don't you do your part to let him know you're interested? The Bible says, to him that ordereth this conversation aright, to him will I show the salvation of God. A couple of verses and I'm done. Go to Isaiah 55. And by the way, what you're hearing honestly this morning is what saints heard all the way up till about roughly mid-1800s. When the Laodicean church age started creeping in, it became methods, and we've got to have, because, listen, with the introduction of the RSV in England and the ASV in America, Laodicean church age started. There wasn't the results like you saw in Philadelphia period where you could shake the tree and the fruit fail. And men were like, I don't like gleanings. I don't like that kind of effort. And so we're going to make results. Well, it's happened. It's happened. It's been man's results, though, I'm afraid, in too many cases. Folks, look where we're at. Back when God moved in that period, there was power. When the word of God was preached and taught and committed, there was power. Today, how many people will tell you, at least down south, I tell you, everybody and their brother saved. I'm telling you, everybody and their brother saved. No fruit, no evidence, no power. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Take your Bible, Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. The night I got saved, that's exactly what I repented of. My way. Seriously. I told God, God, it's been all about me. I care about nobody but me, but I want you. I want to know you. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Heart. It's always been about the heart. And Acts 17, in closing, Acts 17. Acts 17. And if you look with me, please, at verse number 10. Acts 17 and verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, because of this, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and not of men, not a few. What'd they do? We got to check this thing out. I got to find out about this. I got to see if this thing's so. I got to prove this out. And they saw that what they were told was backed up by Scripture, and they believed. You see, listen, when someone by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, sees and knows that what they're hearing is truth, and the Spirit of God is wooing that individual, then it's time to do business with God. There was a fellow one time, and a brother went to go deal with him in a hospital. Gave him the gospel, answered his questions, just, you know. He was there in the hospital. They said about 11 o'clock, a nurse came in and said, Mr. Smith, Jones, whatever, you need to cut your light off. You need to go to bed. And I'm thinking about something. About 1 o'clock in the morning, she came again. You've got to get sleep. You've been sick. And you go, ma'am, I'm thinking about something. I think she came in again about 2 in the morning. Mr. Jones, you've got to take, I told you, I'm thinking about something. About 7 in the morning or wherever when, that fella came back in to see him. As a big grin. He wasn't thinking anymore. He had acted. He had received Jesus Christ. He heard truth. Now he had to wrestle that thing out between him and the Lord. And God did a work. And if you're saved, you know the work that God has done in you. And may we allow and just let God use us, but not get in the way of him doing a real regenerating work in the lives and hearts and minds of others. This thing has kind of turned more or less today to a a salvation message, I reckon. Though I do want to say, and I have tried to say this morning, that if you are saved and the Spirit of God is dealing with you about some matter, don't be resistive. Don't be resistive. You're just going to make yourself more miserable. You're going to hinder and stop what God's trying to do, and you'll block your forward progress with God. But if it be salvation, if it be a matter of consecration, if there's some matter that you have been turning a deaf ear to, or you just don't want to hear, because maybe it goes cross-grain against what you've been taught, but yet not exactly what the Bible says. Friends, listen, I'm telling you, there are countless things today that in this Laodicean age have been foistered upon the saints that when you look at your scriptures, though, that's not what you're finding. Will you allow God to have the work that He desires to have to His hands in your life, whatever He's dealt with you about, would you be submissive and yielded unto that? One final illustration from my own life, and I'll be done. We had been married about a year and a half, and the Lord sent me as an Air Force, a little island called the Azores. And I was over there, and boy, there was a wonderful church there. There was a missionary over there, and there was a wonderful church, and boy, I just took off, man. I just took off. And I came back. My wife had just been saved about a year and a half. So, but the Lord had really dealt with me about some things that needed to be different in our home. And some things He wanted me to step up the plate to. And I didn't do it. Because you know why? Well, first of all, I had lace on my pants. Second thing was, I was afraid, what if she leaves? What if she leaves me? I know she's saved, but man, I know some things are going to have to be done different. And I know it's not what she was brought up with or what she's been, but I know God is directing. And out of fear and of what would happen, more than fear of God, I compromised. Now listen to me. I stayed in church. I stayed in my Bible. I stayed praying. And I was dead as a doornail inside. You can ask her. People for a year, people would come to our house. And I would be like, oh, everything's fine. Everything's good. We'd laugh. We'd talk. That when the door closed, I was dead. I was dead. No joy. I kept up with I kept going to church. But I was dead inside. I can remember the chair I was sitting in our apartment, reading my Bible, and the Lord came and spoke to my heart and said, son, I'm giving you another chance. You know, I want you to step it up. There are things that need to be taken care of. What are you going to do? I put my Bible down and I walked into the bedroom and I said, sweetheart, I love you and I'll never put you away. But I said, honey, some things have to be done different around here, and they will be. Now listen, I always took my Bible and said, honey, the Lord showed me this. We need to be doing this, or we need to that. And I always, never my opinion, I always showed her Bible. When she told me later, she goes, I got mad. She said, but I was mad because I knew you were right. But I didn't want to do right. But she did. I had to be willing to lose her and put God first, because He is first. There's no way I would have been pastoring now for 34 years. There's no way I'd be with you here tonight. There's no way if those things had not been gotten in order. Oh, I may have called myself, but God wouldn't have. Because those things needed to be in order. And my dear and precious brethren and friends, if there's any matter tonight that needs to be rectified and taken care of, this morning rather, please do whatever business with God needs to be done. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you. Father, once again, I pray that I've not got in the way. I don't want to do that, Father. I don't want to do that. Lord, please just bless everything that was said and done in accordance with what you wanted this morning. Show us where we're at. Show us where we need to be. Help us, Father, and thank you for this opportunity. And I ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Just one moment. If you have a Bible open, I just want to read a couple. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Before I read verse 4, I want to read verse 13. The Bible says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." So everybody knows this verse, I believe, in his church. I believe most can read that. So Paul says the greatest of these is charity, correct? And it says in verse 4, if you jump back up to verse 4, says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." So what could happen is something like that was preached this morning. Some individuals might get mad. Some might get upset. What was said at certain different things. And those that could be saved could be this way. But what's always amazed me in just a short time that I've been pastoring is Christians that will get mad at you or get mad at something said and believing they're spiritual. But if you're spiritual, you would do what I just read. A spiritual Christian who thinks they're right with what they think and another individual's wrong with what they think, if an individual's like that and they're correct and they do have the Holy Ghost, they'll suffer long. They'll be kind. As soon as an individual stops being kind, you're on the wrong track. So I say, you said, "Preacher, why you say that?" Because I know sometimes as a preacher, you know, the Bible talks about discernment. I believe a preacher ought to have discernment. Sometimes you can discern some things. Sometimes you could just tell, yeah, some people probably aren't happy. Some people are fine. But if you're saved and you're not happy, why? Because if you're saved and you really love God and you're as close to God as you think you are, you would suffer long. You'd be kind. You wouldn't envy. You wouldn't vaunt yourself. You wouldn't get puffed up. And you'd believe all things. You'd hope all things. And you'd endure all things. But if one has an attitude, automatically I know that you don't have charity. It's just a little test of where we're at spiritually. And I say that to all to say this, because I want, real quick, look at Hebrews chapter 11. You say, why you say charity? Because of Hebrews 11, this is why I say charity. Brethren, I said this Wednesday night, and I'm more and more convinced of it. But look at Hebrews 11 real quick, just bear with me. We'll eat here in a second. Please, just see these verses right here. And these people are not born again. Okay, they didn't have the Holy Ghost like we have the Holy Ghost in the sense that they were made new creatures in Jesus Christ. These are Old Testament saints. But look what they did in verse 33 of Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, they're not born in the Spirit like we're born in the Spirit. But look what they were able to do. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were" what? But not just tortured. Look at the next part. "Not accepting deliverance," which tells me they had an opportunity to not be tortured, but they didn't go that route. You see, I know my pastor, and some may say, well, whether he was talking about with COVID, I believe the man used common sense with that. If you're sick, you stay home. Because I know him, some might take it, well, he just has this cavalier attitude concerning COVID. No, I know the man, no. But what he's saying is if you're being dictated by fear, everything's healthy and good, and you don't come to church because of what if. Brother, what you going to do if the time comes you might be tortured? Brother, I said this Wednesday night, I'm sure we got Christians today complaining because their fries are cold. I said Wednesday night, I got a Dr. Pepper instead of getting a Sprite. What are you, brethren, what are you going to do? I talk about standing next to Paul and Stephen. What are you going to do when you got to stand next to these believers who are tortured for the faith? Yeah, And they didn't even have the Holy Spirit like we have the Holy Spirit. How? You're going to stand next to him and say, hey, you will not believe what I had to deal with down here. You know, one time I was driving McDonald's for a milkshake and somebody cut me off. Can you believe that?
No, Brother Sears, the Lord had us.
I mean, I'm not being funny.
No, Brother, the Lord had us.
We complain about the littlest things. If anybody had an opportunity to complain, it would be this individual here in verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. Brethren, I can't get this next one. They were sawn asunder. Well, that preacher, he's just mean, he's just arrogant, he's just prideful. Sir, ma'am, you show me completely where you are at spiritually. You can't handle a preacher that may raise his voice. What are you going to do if somebody comes and says, reject Christ, or I'm going to saw you in half? That's Bible. This is Bible. Well, I just think he's a little too adamant. We're slain with the sword. You know what? My hot water was here. It was broken this morning. I can't believe God allowed that to happen to me. I didn't have hot water this morning. Wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. Amen. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Brethren, those are Old Testament saints. We're New Testament saints. And like he said, that judgment day before Jesus Christ is coming, and what you're going to stand before him and complain about the governor? You're going to stand before him and complain about Governor Wolf or Susan Wilde? Last time I checked, Susan Wilde ain't putting out no decree that if you're a Christian, you're going to get sawn asunder. Last time I checked, Joe Biden didn't say, look, I don't agree with Joe Biden now, so I'm not here to say, well, I'm a Joe Biden fan. I'm not. Last time I checked, he ain't persecuted no Christians that I know of yet.
Right.
Brethren,
he's right. We're in the Laodicean church, and I think sometimes we don't realize how far gone we are.
We're spoiled. We're lukewarm. We're neither hot nor cold. And Jesus said, I want to spit you out my mouth.
That's Bible. Laodicean church. We're rich, we're increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. We have Amazon, we have eBay, we have Etsy, we have DoorDash. We only have to leave our couch and we can have a full meal brought to us by someone in a car. And you know what? I'm going to get mad because I had DoorDash come to me and they brought me they brought me something inside that I ordered. Brethren, God help us.
Yes, brother.
Are you serious? Please. We're going to have to stand next to these saints someday. Well, much less the Lord Jesus Christ. We couldn't even stand next to some of these saints. Much less God. Wait, Stephen, you're going to complain and Stephen was stoned to death? Can you imagine that? You're out here walking with your Bible, so say, put your Bible down or you're going to start getting stoned. You know what most Christians are doing?
Yes, sir.
Easy, man, easy.
Right.
That's what most Christians do today.
Yes, sir.
I'd say 95%. Stephen kept preaching.
Yes, sir.
And guess what? Somebody got saved that helped turn the world upside down.
Yes, sir. Right.
One man there was watching.
Yes, he was.
That Christian give up his life for Jesus Christ. And that man, like he said, wrote almost half the New Testament because a Christian was willing to be stoned to death. God forbid we complain about something as silly as getting cold fries at Burger King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. I thank you, Father, for this time together, Lord. Lord, I believe you were definitely in these services, dear God. So, Lord, I prayed this morning, dear God. Lord, you'd help us, Lord. Please help us to see our attitudes, dear God. Please help us to see our attitudes. Lord, help us to examine ourselves, Lord. As Paul said, dear God, examine. Lord, ones are to examine themselves before they take the Lord's Supper. Lord, I pray you'd help us to examine ourselves in our walk with you. Lord God, that we truly face the truth, look in the mirror and realize where we're at. And dear God, if we're cold, if we're just mechanical, if we just go through the motions and we're just dead on the inside, Lord, if we're just mean as a snake and everything bothers us and we're just mad and angry, Lord, I know that's not from you, dear God. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, this morning, Lord, we wouldn't just shove things off, Lord, put our fingers in our ears and la, 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 I didn't hear anything that's being said, dear God. I believe you're trying to speak to souls, dear Lord. So, dear God, I pray you'd continue to do so, Lord. I pray we would yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, those that are saved, Lord, if their heart is cold, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd put a little flame in there, dear God, and that whole cold heart would get melted, dear Lord, and get back where it needs to be, walking with you. Lord, I also pray this morning if there's someone here that's not saved, dear God. Lord, if they don't know the power, Lord, of the change of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them, if they've never been made a new creature and passed from death unto life, if they haven't old things passed away, all things become new, dear Lord, I pray, God, you continue to bring conviction upon them. Help them to see what Jesus Christ did for them on that cross of Calvary. And Lord, I pray that they just turn to you, Lord God, call out to you, dear God, and be saved. So Lord, help us now this morning, Lord. And God, I pray you dismiss us with your blessings. And Lord, help us to walk with you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything we have, dear God. Help us to live the life for you, dear God. So when you call us home to heaven someday, dear God, we don't regret anything that we've done down here. So Lord, we ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You take a blue hymn book. I'd like to close with a hymn real quick. This morning, got a blue hymn book. Let's sing here this morning as we close out. Let's hear. You got a blue hymn book here. We'll stand page number 52. Page number 52. Page number 52. To God be the glory. Amen. We're going to sing this acapella because Ellie doesn't know this before. Page 52. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So
higher and greater will be our one.
are those that can stay. I'd like you to come on down and enjoy some food and some fellowship. And before you go out here, Brother Craig, can you close us and bless the food to our bodies as well?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this weekend and all the services that we're allowed to partake in. We thank you, Lord, that Brother Dross came up and spoke the messages that you laid on his heart. Because I know you spoke through many hearts through him this weekend. And we are extremely thankful for that. Now let us examine ourselves and change what needs to be changed. Yeah. What you spoke to us. That you change in our heart, that we may reflect Jesus Christ in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the food that you have provided down there. We pray, Lord, for good fellowship this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, for the efforts put forth in preparing this meal.
Yes.
Lord, please take this food and strengthen and nourish our bodies. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Hey, love you, brother. Miss. We're going to see you tonight.
All right. Cheers.